Hey guys and girls, what's going on? This is Thunderlocus 3 and welcome to another episode. So, this was actually supposed to be like done in May 26, but I decided that would be a bit too far in the future, so I'm making it now. So, if for those who doesn't know, I know a lot of you isn't really gamers in that sense, but Hoyoverse, the creators of the world-renowned Genshin Impact, has released a new game called Honkai Star Rail. And I must admit, when I first saw it, I was like, I'm not too impressed. But now, after I've actually played it ever since launch. So, after I've played it for a couple of like weeks now, I have finished the story. I'm just doing like it's the equivalent of Genshin with light coat, with relics, and just farming XP's credits. I don't have too much problem with it, but yes, I've just been grinding so much currently in Star Rail. So for me, this is my opinion 2 weeks after. I was actually planning to do this yesterday, but I didn't really get to play Star Rail that much when it was released back in April 26. But hey, now it's literally like 2 weeks from the moment that I played. First of all, I really love the gameplay. I know this is gonna be like, oh, Genshin is this, Star Rail is that. I do apologize for that, but for me, Star Rail is a bit better since, one, it is a quote-unquote turn-based game. The reason I'm doing a quote-unquote turn-based is will be revealed down in the line later. But currently, Honkai Star Rail is actually very enjoyable turn-based combat style. And the thing about Genshin is that you can have one character just maxed out and your supporting characters be like, I don't know, 20 levels behind, and there's not too much of a problem. Yes, it's gonna make clearing domains, clearing or leveling up your world level harder since you're only relying on one specific character. But at the end of it all, if that character is really powerful, like Raiden, Shogun, Ganyu, who else would be a perfect one for that? All of the most powerful like characters in Genshin, if you have them maxed out, if you have them 3 crowned, it doesn't matter if they are C Constellation 0 or Constellation 6 or whichever constellation it is, as long as their skills, their artifacts, their weapons, their level is maxed, as long as their power is really strong, you have the perfect artifacts for them, you have the perfect weapon for them, they can solo carry the whole game for you. It's different in Honkai, in Star Rail, technically. Not Honkai itself, because there's Honkai Impact 3rd. But Star Rail, it's very different. You cannot rely on a single character carrying you to the whole game. What happens in Star Rail is that you need to have a lot of your characters on the same level as much as you can, because first of all, you will still rely, or your party composition is still 4, but again, it is a turn-based combat system. So if one of her characters is like level 40 and one of her characters is like level 50, that level 40 will get demolished easily, because that level 40 character won't be dealing too much damage but will be receiving a lot of damage, unless you have one of the most powerful shielders, Jepard. Oh gosh, it's almost hard for your enemies to kill your team. But besides the character, I will be talking about the characters later. All of the characters that I've experienced, that I've played, I will be talking about them later. But for now, I will be focusing on the combat itself. And what I love about Star Rail is that I know it sucks, but it requires for your Trailblazer to have a specific level. If you want your Trailblazer to not just get one shot when you fight the boss, you need to have your Trailblazer at a certain level. I do apologize if you hear bells. One of my... There's a cat currently in my room. So if you hear bells, yes, that's because of the cat. And also, yes, I'm currently recording this in my room because I will be taking a rest. I still have work later. For some of you, it's like 1 in the morning. For me, it's like 1 in the afternoon. But moving that aside, and one of my most favorite things in Star Rail is that the turn-based combat system, yes, it does suck that if you have ult ultimates, you can just use your ultimates in a snap. It doesn't matter whose turn it is, you can always use your ultimate. But for me, it's very linchpin. It can get you into clutch moments. I have like one of the clutch moments where one of my main damage dealers is very low, but because of my healer just managing to clutch it up, managing to max their energy for them to use their ultimate, oh gosh, it just clinched and won me the game. But then again, the whole system is turn-based. Your enemies have specific weakness to specific damage types. Some of them has like... I will be trying to talk about the damage types. You have the physical, the fire, the ice, the lightning, the quantum, imaginary. I'll repeat it on the line. Physical, fire, quantum, imaginary, ice, lightning. I believe that it's only 6. Not sure, but there are 7 paths that your the characters have. But we'll talk about the characters later and things about them. Oh yeah, I forgot wind. That's the 7th one. I forgot about the wind. So each enemy has their own weakness. So there are enemies, because there is what you call, like, the enemies have like a white bar above their HP, and that is their weakness bar. So if, let's say, you attack, if you have a character that deals quantum damage and your enemy is weak to quantum, what happens is when you attack that enemy that is weak to quantum, you will deal damage to their quantum weakness plus a damage to their HP. Now, is weakness breaking still good? Yes, because it technically allows your other damage characters to deal more, your other characters to deal damage to the enemy. While, because usually the enemy, when they have their white bar full, it usually doesn't deal too much damage. But if that white bar is empty, it can deal, it's very minuscule, but it can still deal a good amount of damage. And it's one of the reasons why if you enter a domain, like, or if you enters an area where you can level up your quote-unquote equilibrium level, you will see that recommended types. It's because your enemy is weak to those specific element types or attack types. So if you have an ice dealer like March 7th, one of the characters that will be given to you, if you have March 7th, March deals ice damage. So if she attacks someone who is weak to ice, what would happen is that the weakness bar will, when March attacks them, the enemy's weakness bar will be put in half. Now, there are two kinds of attacks. there is the basic attack and there is the skill attacks. Skill attacks or skills, not skill attacks, because some skills either gives you shield, some of the skills either deal more damage, some of the skills either heal. So, you know, or empower other characters, such and such. So what would happen is that basic attack, there's actually now a skill point where basic attacks replenish skill points, using skills reduces skill points. So the main economy of that during combat is maintaining your skill point, because you want your main damage dealer to use their skills to deal more damage to every single enemy. Meanwhile, you want to have enough skill points just in case your healer needs to heal. And usually healers needs to use their skill for them to heal other characters, which is very lynch if you don't have skill points available. So you do need to play around your skill point. Sometimes your main damage dealer shouldn't use their skill, should just do a basic attack so that your support characters can either build their energy faster, or for your healer characters to, for your healer slash buffer characters to kind of empower the main damage dealer. So right now I will be talking about the paths that certain characters has. The very first one is destruction. I will be spoiling a bit. No, well, not really. So I do apologize if I'm speaking too fast. But first, we have the path of destruction. That is your like bruiser type. They have high damage, or not so high damage, but they have like a good balance between health points and damage or attack, and they are like your not main. So they're not your main damage dealer. There is one path that will be your main damage dealer, but for like just dealing enough damage, dishing out enough damage, destruction is your go-to. The second one is called Hunt. So the characters that follow Path of the Hunt is the characters that deal is an absurd single target damage. And usually the Hunt is the best to go against like elite enemies whose, when you use your skill, won't just outright remove their weakness bar. So elite are not the boss itself, because boss is like when you deal the weakness damage, it's not even enough to put their weakness bar into half. I don't know, for a moment I think. I do apologize for that. I think I'll just deal with that later. So, moving on. The next one is... I'm not sure if I'm done with the Hunt, but the Hunt is usually the one that deals like absurd enough damage. The third one is the Path of Abundance. This path is your healer path. That's currently, with all of the characters available, the one that is following the Path of Abundance focuses mainly on heals. Two of the Path of Abundance characters that I have currently is Bailu and Natasha. Both of them is Path of Abundance. Both of them just heals for an insane amount, especially my character Natasha. The fourth one is the path of, I believe it was Nihility. So the path of Nihility focuses on debuffing or removing the buff. Yeah, it's technically debuffing your enemy. It focuses on either removing the buff or adding a debuff to your enemy.
So if you want your characters to do more damage, like if you want your characters to feel like this enemy is gonna be getting shredded, Path of Nihility is best. Next, I believe also Path of Nihility also is one of the main path responsible for adding like burn damage over time. So moving on to the next one. Next is the Path of Harmony. Path of Harmony focuses on buffing your team. So it doesn't matter what kind of buffs, Path of Harmony will buff your team. And usually they deal a massive amount of buffs, and with those buffs it does help your team a lot. With specifically, like, one of the main buffers that I have is Asta, and she's actually one of the three characters you're gonna get. So what Asta usually does is both of her skills and basic attack is just, you know, just deals damage, but her ultimate speeds up your team. So instead of like one of your main damage dealer being like very far behind, she can move it up further. Next one for paths is preservation. That path is focused on shielding, on protecting your team. And I've actually talked about one of this earlier on. Jeppard is a very powerful shielder, coming in clutch with all of his shields. Like, usually, yes, my enemy would still deal enough damage to the enemy, but what would happen is that his shields are immense. They focus on defense. It's like your traditional shielders in Genshin, they focus on defense. Path of Abundance focuses on HP. They heal for a certain amount plus their HP, like their 16% plus blank of their max HP. So things like that. Next is Erudition. For a moment, we have Path of Destruction, Path of Harmony, Path of Hunt, Path of Preservation, Path of Erudition is just focused on dealing damage on a wider scale. Like, their skill is usually focused on dealing a wider area of damage, while their ultimate deals damage to every single enemy. There are some that I'm not sure if the character I'm really aiming for is a Path of Erudition, but there's a character I really love because so that is Erudition. I'm not sure if I'm forgetting others. A Path of Abundance. Let me just go over. I do apologize if I'm combing over through every single thing. I don't have a script for this. I just go where my mind takes me. So we have Path of Destruction, Path of the Hunt, Path of Preservation, Path of Abundance, Path of Nihility, Path of Erudition, Path of Harmony. So that is, I believe I've talked about all seven paths. Now, this is gonna be where I will be making, I will be making comparisons between Genshin and Star Rail. In Genshin, you have weapons. In Star Rail, you have light cones. The thing about light cones is that there is their main stat, and there is the passive stat. So for you to be able to activate the passive stat, light cones follow a certain path. if the character you're using it on follows that path, what would happen is that it activates the passive path for that light cone. Either giving more speed or giving more shield, giving more HP. It depends on the path that the light cone has. And that's what I really love Starrel is, because it opens up more opportunity for you to mix and match your team. But again, it's much better to follow the path that is that the light cone is following, instead of just giving your path of harmony a light cone that follows the path of destruction. Because none of them would be, your path of harmony would benefit with the HP, the attack, and the defense added to their base. But the thing is, you're not using the light cone well. You're not using the light cone as it was supposed to be. So, next one is relics versus artifacts. I'm just gonna say this outright. I prefer going with Starrel on this one. This will be like too Starrel focused, because there are a lot of things in Genshin that Starrel has actually improved. First of all, again, the combat. Second, I'm not sure if you have if you're too caught up with the memes, but in Starrel, you can go with meme answers. There's one about a certain song that has been passed around through generations, still being used today, and it's still one of the best. There is another one that is a Breaking Bad reference. There's another one that's a Genshin reference. Like, there are certain stuff in Starrel that is very different from Genshin. I know Starrel is a different game. It should be different from Genshin, but I still love how much things Starrel has offered over Genshin. Another one is there's what you call a self-modeling resin. What happens with that is what you can do with that is like, I want a certain item. I want this certain stuff to have this specific statistics. So what should I do? What's the self-modding resin does is that you can craft your own relic, and with that specific main stat. So I currently have a quantum body relic that focuses on like one quantum damage and just upping up the crit rate, crit damage for one of my main damage dealers. So what happens is that it's, you can just choose whatever you want. It is in the battle pass, but the good thing is that it's in the free area. So if you want to get the self-modeling resin, just grind the game. I do apologize if it's gonna be very grindy, but that's how you get the self-modeling resin. It is a nice payout though, in my opinion. Next one is the wishing system. Yes, I know that it's like, of course, as a developer, if you are a developer, you know why, how you would do it. If you're not a developer, there is a good reason. Hoyo actually took the gacha system of Genshin and implemented it in Starrel, meaning that you have 1 to 90. 90 is when like all of the other options you didn't get a single 5-star. So what would happen is that all of those system all of the gacha system in Genshin is the same as the gacha system in Honkai. But currently Honkai has a standard banner, of course. Honkai has a featured character, which is Sila, which is a very powerful DPS or damage per second character, and they have her dedicated light cone. So like every single character has their very own dedicated light cone, just like how in Genshin every character has their very specific weapon. But in here, Genshin has like, what was it? Genshin has, oh no, Starrail has a light cone that has the portrait of the character. And that portrait of the character is, it works well if you use that that light cone to that specific character. Like, currently I have a character, Arlan. I have Arlan's light cone, but I'm not using it on Arlan. I barely use Arlan. But I have his light cone, so if I want it to be, if I give it to Arlan, that light cone, if I give it to Arlan, Arlan will be using it very well because that is his specific light cone. Again, it's very rare to get the specific light cones for specific characters, but you know, it's very hard to get light cones. But if you just pull enough, you might get the light cone that you wanted. If you pull enough, you get the character that you wanted. Another one with the relics is that in Genshin, you have 5 piece. In Star Rail, you have a 6 piece. You have one that is a 4 piece like outfit. You have the head, the body, the pants, and the shoes. And the other one is gloves. I don't know why they didn't add pants. I guess that's for the body. But you have the head, the gloves, the body, and the shoes. Now there is the, I forgot what the other one is, but there's a link rope and the other one. So the first 4 is the one that you will get immediately. It will be introduced to you at the start of the game. Well, not really at the start of the game, when you unlock relics. The second 2 is when you unlock a certain like mode called Simulated Universe. It's a very good, it's actually a very good domain. It's a very good place to kind of strengthen your characters. Although it sucks that it's weekly basis, but I understand why. If you're a starting character, of course, you cannot really clear World 4 immediately on your first try. But that's what I actually love about Simulated Universe, is that you can get the link ropes, you can get the other 2 sets for your relic piece, and it's much more, it looks much better. In my opinion, it looks much better because you can have every single one of your relics be a 2-piece. You have a 2-piece Wild Wheat, you have a 2-piece, I think that was Space Station. You can have a 2-piece Genius of Brilliant Minds. It's very nice to have those kinds of stuff. Also, Genshin, again, I have actually picked this apart on my start, but Genshin's combat system is that you can focus on one character and just steamroll the whole game with that one specific character. In Star Rail, you need to empower every single one of your character if you want to use them well. Yes, Hoyo still rewards you with that specific thing, but the thing is, it saves time with development. That is why Hoyoverse is recycling some of the ideas from Genshin into Star Rail. Another one that I really love about Star Rail is that the dialogues are less robotic, more quote-unquote natural. you can make a joke with your companions during the travel. You can make like, you can just copy what the other person is saying. You can make an optimistic response. You can make a pessimistic response. You can make an aggressive response. It's like you are really shaping who your character is. And that's what I really love about Star Rail. So another one that I actually love is between Genshin and Star Rail. Sure, Genshin is more open world, but since it's more open world, it actually costs more with the power for your phone, because it needs to load that specific region of that specific map. In Star Rail, if you want to go to, say, Yael 6, you just go to that planet, go to a specific area, just teleport there, and that specific map is loaded. If you want to go from, let's say, Backwater Pass to the administrative district, you don't need to load both areas at the same time. You just need to go through like travel to this specific area with specific routes, or you can just use a space anchor to just teleport there. Another one is when you go near a space anchor, it automatically heals your character. You don't need to interact with specific stuff. And I guess it's more of because you cannot really use your skills outside of combat, compared to like if you have Sangonomiya, if you have Kokomi on your team and your team is very low, you can just go to a teleport waypoint, summon Kokomi's jellyfish and swap to the characters that needs healing. In Star Rail, there's no such thing as that. But there is what you call techniques. Techniques is what you use before an encounter. Because you can see the level of your enemy, the name of your enemy, and what they are weak to. Or the enemies that you will be facing are weak to. So if you have like a physical damaging character and you see that one of the weakness of the enemies is physical, you can just go and use a normal attack. Or you can use the technique. And using the technique is actually more beneficial. But there is like a max technique points. I'm not sure if Star Rail is planning to up it up. But currently, from what I have, it's currently 5. And not a lot of people... I'm not sure if there are people who's actually reached Trailblazer level 65. The max for... Star Rail. But the thing about Star Rail is that up until now, even if I finished the story, it is still very enjoyable to traverse, to just enjoy the scenery. And I'm just gonna say this: Pom Pom is cuter than Paimon. I do apologize for the VA of Paimon, but Pom Pom is cuter. It's a little cute bunny on the Astral Express, and he's the conductor. What I also love about when you pull for, if in Genshin you call it a wish, in Star Rail you call it a warp. So in Genshin, when you go for a pull, when you do a wish, it's just like a shooting star, and it glows violet for 4-star, gold for 5-star. In Star Rail, when you do a warp, the Astral Express will literally warp and will stop in front of Pom Pom, and the cabin will like depressurize, and depending on what you get, blue for 3-star, purple for 4-star. But the funniest thing is when you get a 5-star. It decompresses so much that Pom Pom is just flown. It's just thrown away due to the depressurizing of the airlock in the Astral Express. It's the cutest thing that you ever see when you do a warp. And it's very enjoyable. But For now, that is all that I have to say about Star Rail for now. 2 weeks in. 2 weeks into playing. Will I change my mind? I'm not sure yet. But Star Rail is still very, like, a very good game. It's very enjoyable. I love the whole world building itself. I love, like, every single time you interact with people. I love how it's more natural than Genshin. And right now, I'm just waiting for some of the new characters. I believe the new characters is Yan Qing, Luocha, and Silver Wolf. I'm actually aiming for Silver Wolf. And we won't know if... I mean, I'm waiting for them to be released. But until then, I think it's very near. I'm not sure if it's very near. But again, thank you so much for listening me ramble on with this specific game that I'm enjoying for like 2 weeks now. Again, thank you so much. I will try to upload next week, most likely. I will be talking about a specific event happening here in the Philippines in June 2 to 4. I'm actually planning to go there. If you live somewhere in the Philippines, I'm not sure if I will do like anything there, but I will be visiting one of the VAs for Valorant there, Vanil Velazquez. If you want to see me, I will be roaming around looking for Vanil. I will be looking around looking for Aniatko. I will be looking around to get the autographs of Genshin VAs. But again, thank you so much for listening to me ramble on with this game, with all of the plans I currently have for like the next weeks. And I will do my best to post a new content next week. One of the reasons why I don't really post new content is because I am either burnt out because of my work, or I'm usually spending my time playing games. I will still do my best. I do apologize for the lack of activities. Thank you so much for listening to me. Have a wonderful everyone. This is Thunder Locust 3 signing off for now. Hey guys and girls, what's going on? This is Thunder Locust 3, and this is a very surprising. Well, it's kind of fitting that I'm making this right now. This would be my second podcast for this month, which is nice. Trying to get the groove in, I guess. But this is a very quick update about my life. Same. Still no changes too much. My life, the reason why I'm looking for topics to talk about in my podcast is usually my life is not really that exciting. I will admit, my life is not, it's meh. It's not really that exciting. There's nothing too much exciting about my life, too much. I said too much a lot of times, but it's very like, I'm giving off NPC vibe. Like, it's on autopilot, to be honest. But moving on from that point of view, there is an event happening in my country, which is the Conquest 2023. So I will be going there. I will be making 3 parts, and all of them will be released at the day of the event. And it's gonna be most likely be streamed or uploaded after the event itself. This is actually my second largest event I have been ever to. The very first one is back in 2012, and it's a League of Legends event. I have been to another convention, I guess you can call it a convention, but it is sponsored by HoYoverse. It was an event in Luneta Park. It is the Astral the Astral Global Tour, and it's actually a very enjoyable like moment, especially with my significant other. And this is a very special moment for me, and I do hope that the reception that Hoyoverse got when they did the Astral Global Tour, I do hope that it pushes them more to promote itself, promote Star Rail more here in my country, here in the Philippines. I do hope that they push it more. They push or they do more live events. Like, I know in Conquest, like, I'm gonna be meeting Raiden Shogun and Yemiko live. Their voices, I will be meeting them in person. I will also be meeting Neon, the VA of Neon from Valorant, in person. Like, it is a very big event that is, or that has, like, the offline TV cast, the voice actors of Genshin, and someone from Valorant. And I believe both Koi and Vanille is doing a workshop. I don't know what that workshop is for, but if it's for voice acting, I would sign myself up with that. For those who doesn't know, I actually wanted to go in voice acting. It's something that kind of awakened with me back in like elementary school. I do apologize if I keep sniffing. I have a very bad cold right now. But moving on past that, it is like, I really wanted to be a voice actor. For, you know, even if I'm just going to be an NPC, if I'm going to be a playable character, it doesn't really matter to me. I want to do some voice acting as a, most likely a sideline, I guess. But for me to push myself more, for me to challenge myself more, and let's say I did a very good job as an NPC, maybe someone will hire me to be part of their main cast, and it would be wonderful. I know I'm not putting myself out there too much, that's why my exposure is not that much, or it isn't really that big, but it's one of the reasons why I'm making podcasts, I guess. It's one for me to build a community where you will help each other through bad times. It doesn't matter where you came from, what's your nationality. It doesn't matter, because all of us are humans. We should be pushing ourselves to become better. And second, I want to promote myself more. You know, maybe someone will like my content. Maybe someone will support me, that they would be like, hey, do you want to be a special guest in this and that? I want to kind of push myself into some unknown boundaries, because I have been in my comfort zone for a very long time. And, you know, maybe doing that workshop in Conquest 2023 will push me to, you know, hello, I want to do this, I want to do that, it's nice meeting you, can I have an autograph, can I have a picture? It's like, I want to break from my old shell. I want to explore a lot of things other than me being in my house, just like listening to music, which is not bad, watching videos. Like, I want to break some monotony in my life. And if I do become a voice actor, I swear I won't stop doing podcasts. Maybe being a VA would actually help me do more of my podcast. I will be trying to get someone from Conquest. If I do hope that they approve, I'm gonna be trying to get them to maybe like, is it fine for you if we make a podcast episode together? I will be asking them with that, and if they approve, that would be wonderful. If it's not, it's fine. I don't want to push people to make collaborations with me. When I did my very first collaboration with Tidbits, It is more of a... It lasted a week before I managed to get an approval from, you know, from Tidbits on, okay, when do you want to do this and do you want to do that? It took us like like a week or two. So, if, you know, being too spontaneous, it might lessen the chance, but I would be trying to, you know, to look for more ways to expand my content. I will be trying to like talk about some things, especially Star Rail will be approaching its version 1.1 in a let me just check the date. In 2 days. So, in 2 days, they will be approaching, or they will be announcing what will happen in 1.1, which is, I believe, an expansion of the story. We might be able to get the hunt finally from, you know, from Lofu and enjoy the game a bit more. Because, again, I love the game so much. The event right now, it's meh, but hey, this is still like their first venture, because, you know, after Genshin, like all of the memes, everything else that is connected with Star Rail, it's still very cool. I might be talking about some things on Valorant when Agent 8 releases. Yes, I'm calling them Agent 8 because technically they are Agent 8, but Rito decided to remove Agent 8, then return her back, or return them back. I'm not sure about, you know, their pronouns, I guess, but or their alignment. But I will be waiting for the new agent because apparently they will be a sentinel. Me and my friends was like, okay, we gotta do this. We went all sentinels. One game, we went all sentinels. And oh my gosh, it's one of the hardest games that we have ever played. I forgot if we won the game or we lost. But the enjoyment of it, like trying a lot of things out of the box. And I will be hoping for more like content in the future, or like ways to do more content in the future, I mean. And if I do find ways to expand my content a bit more, that would be nice, both for me and for those who have listened to me constantly, which is I'm still thankful for, because I do go into hiatus for a long month and suddenly a new upload and another hiatus and another upload. I'm very inconsistent, and if I manage to find a way to break the monotony of my life, maybe I can make a new content or addition to my content. And I will be updating myself before I go into the convention. So what will happen most likely is that next episode, which is gonna be the day when I'm at the Conquest, there will be two parts. I'm not sure if how I'm gonna do it. It's future me problem, but most likely I will be documenting every single day of that event, and hopefully it will give you an idea of what Conquest is. If you haven't been to other Conquests like me, for the first timers, for those who hasn't been there yet, it's gonna give you like a perspective of what's there. And for those who have been there for a long time, kind of help you reminisce your very first conquest like that. And I want to push myself more, you know. If there's like a convention that I really wanted to go, that hey, I wanted to meet this person, I will try my best to go to that convention and, you know, do content about it. I want to get myself more exposed to other people, to events, so that I have more content to pour out, to share to you people. That's what I wanted. I wanted you to experience some things that I myself have experienced. I want you to share your experiences overall. And, you know, what I'm just gonna say is, the next episode would be me at Conquest. The next episode would be me doing a podcast episode on Conquest. I'm still hoping that my vacation leave at work will be accepted, but I submitted it last week ago, so fingers crossed. But if not, then it would be cut short. It would be a bit shorter than what my plan is, because again, I would need to go travel back to work. Still hoping that it gets approved. But moving on to that, still thank you so much for listening to me for this long. This Thunderlook Speed temporarily signing out.